Welcome to this week's episode of Azentuary. We left off last time having convinced the lady in the water, the drowned maiden, the master of the zombie children, to leave. But she is doing so by going to the surface, to the town that created all of this army of children for her, those who have created the situation we are in. We left with Barry running behind. No, wait. Trying to stop what could be an impending massacre. Who knows? So we run to the surface. Barry taking the lead, trying to follow, but she disappears down a passageway that you could not follow. But you do know the way you got in here. So you run that way and get Foxglove and Poplart are chasing behind you as you emerge to the surface. You find yourself approaching the town square. The entrance that you come to is on the east side of the square. You see out on the west side the drowned maiden leading her way, her children in. Unbeknownst to you at this time, Grimmel is on the main street up on the far west of town, having had a vision from Zaratan saying, go to this place. Something that was resisted, but Bruce was like, no, you just do this. And then there was a fine, and
good.
Started flying up this way.
Good old Bruce.
This better be worth it.
So you come into town, and all you see before you are some townies coming out of some shops, one to the tavern over to the side that Barry, you had gone to before. You can't quite see it from your position where you're at, so you don't even know that Grimmel's up there, but you do see there's a couple of townsfolk and kind of the town leader up by the well at the center of the square. I turn it over to you guys.
Does me see drowned maiden?
Yes. As you run up to the entrance to the town square between a couple of the buildings, you look straight across and you see her on the opposite side of the south part of the square.
All right. Me head in her direction.
Okay. She is working her way up towards the well in the center of the town. You are dashing over towards her as fast as you can. Two of the townspeople see her and are horrified and begin to run away. The town leader stands frozen in shock, his eyes darting back and forth between her and you.
All right. Me get in between Mayor and Drowned Maiden.
Okay. You slide your way in, and she comes to a stop in front of you. He kind of peeks over your shoulder, trembling. What is that? As she raises a finger, pointing at him, you, looking around her, see a group of those little children come running up around her. Almost, like half a dozen of them come running up around her and create kind of a half circle.
All right.
The town leader starts darting his eyes around, looking horrified at all these little childish undead faces staring at him.
All right. Let's see here. me draw me sword, plant it point down into ground in front of me, and glare at ugly drowned wench and yell and roar, halt.
Ooh, give me an intimidation roll.
All right.
Remember, you get your Orkly bonus on that.
I have no idea what my Orkly bonus is.
Yeah, it's either advantage or a massive plus.
Okay. I'm not gonna need it.
Still, I kind of like the idea of you just being able to do it at advantage, you know.
Well, let's see here. Me get 24, even without Orc Lead bonus.
Nice. Well, that's really good. She... yeah, stops in her tracks, and everyone else around is just like, what? Even the guys who had kind of ran to the side stopped and turned and look at you, horrified by the sound that you just let out.
All right. Okay. Me tell townspeople, back up, and then me tell ugly drowned wench, I will not allow you to kill townspeople.
Okay.
But can she kill the ones that kill their babies?
You hear Poplar ask this question. I was just going to say as a side note real quick. Grimmel, you now see the commotion in the middle of town. You're aware of it.
Interesting.
I mean, after all, like, if we don't let her, like, get, like, you know, avenge the babies, would we be the bad guys then? I don't want to be a bad guy.
I would say it is a fair trade-off.
All right, here we go.
I thought we were good guys. How could good guys defend baby killers?
Exactly.
They didn't actually, remember guys, they didn't actually kill their children. They just sent them down to work.
And subsequently killed them.
Oh, so like, oh, so as long as we're working in semantics then, if we don't directly kill people, we just make them work to death. That's perfectly okay then, right?
We don't know. How did they die? Do we know how they died?
Well, I'm assuming if you take a... Oh, Jesus. I got really excited for a moment. I'm assuming that if you take a baby and you put it into the middle of a dangerous area... and then say, well, I didn't kill it. The dangerous area killed it. Maybe that doesn't make you such a good person after all.
Mm.
Precisely.
We're just trying to think, watch out for the babies here. And this lady, she seems to have some very good processes in place. Like, child labor unions and all can do only so much. She's being proactive.
Exactly.
There are no child labor unions right now.
Exactly.
Well, she's the first one, yeah. We should be supporting this.
No, we shouldn't.
I thought we were pro-union.
Yeah.
We are, but I don't think what she's doing is really union.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, anyway.
She's going to find the dead. Oh. Stop getting so excited, Poplar, and screaming into the mic.
You mean the undead? They're not dead anymore.
Potato, patata.
Uh-huh. The problem is we were paid, or we were hired to do a job.
And what was the job?
Which was to get her out of the sewer, which we did.
Yeah. Are the sewers clean? Yes,
part of the social... Well, we don't know. After she kills the town, she might go back in which case we fail everything.
Let me just try to put this into perspective now. If these town people keep chucking babies into the sewers, wouldn't that make the sewer even more dirty than if we were to take care of this? Or let her take care of it?
The thing is we took the job with the assumption that we were going to protect the townspeople. If we then allow the townspeople, the town, to get wiped out, then by omission or helping, then basically we're not going to get any more jobs.
Well, who's gonna check? Know what they say, assuming this makes a mess out of you and me.
And what is your point?
Oh, we're just assuming that's what the guild meant. We never actually clarified.
Exactly.
Never. Okay, wait a minute.
And I don't really want to work for an evil guild anyway. If the evil guild says, oh, we should let these people keep killing babies. Like, that doesn't sound very nice.
Yeah. We could go against some other guild.
You're
it's a large world.
Really taking this way weird.
All I know is this lovely woman. Yes.
She is not lovely. She is terrifying looking.
Oh, Papa doesn't really have lovely. An understanding of exactly what lovely is. but anyway, this creature is just trying to stop babies from dying. And this town here is creating dead babies. So, ergo, I like to think that maybe killing babies is not the best idea. And she seems to have their best intents in heart. So would we be better off supporting a guild that wants dead babies? Or maybe supporting the woman who wants to stop dead babies?
Look at the babies behind her. Are they ever going to grow up, find love, have babies of their own? Or are they trapped in this state for the rest of eternity or until somebody kills them?
And whose ultimate fault is that? I'd like to say the mother's.
It doesn't matter whose fault it is. I'm just saying.
I think it does.
All right. Here's the deal. Okay.
Get some revenge. Come on. Let this woman get some revenge.
This is my line in the sand. I'm not going to allow them to kill the townspeople. And if they attack the townspeople, I will protect the townspeople. And if I have to do it all by myself, I will.
Well, no one's saying kill all the townspeople. We're just saying kill the ones that kill their babies.
Exactly.
No.
So you
also
you support killing babies?
Draw a line in the sand. Like how can you stop us from helping her?
I'm just imagining Grimmel walks up as this argument's being had. killing townspeople? Or are we saving townspeople? I'm much more for the first one, but. I need context here.
Well,
there's this face-off going on, and Grimmel just walks up kind of next to the two of them and is like, hey, what's up, guys?
Okay.
I just love that idea of just, like, you got this whole thing going on, grand speeches. The Drowned Maiden is trying to, you know, make her point. Barry, you're drawing the line in the sand. The townspeople are horrified by all these little undead running around. And through the whole thing, Grimmel just kind of, you know, walks over and is just like, so what's up?
Well, Foxglove and I don't want to support killing babies. And Barry seems dead set on supporting killing babies.
That is what is going on, yes. For once, I agree with the fairy.
Yep.
But anyway, eventually the maiden gets to the point of saying, enough! Something has to change! We cannot keep expanding this army. There is no way that this is feasible. This is wrong. These people are evil.
No, Maiden. Right. I'm not saying we disagree with you here, but if we kill all the people, then your army's just going to get way too big and unmanageable then. We're just suggesting you kill some of the people, like the bad people. We're really good at that.
No, we're not.
We are really good at that.
What constitutes bad? Because I'm technically evil, and I... Actually, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll kill evil and good people.
It constitutes what Poplar's personal opinion of bad is at that time. And he thinks you're the nicest person around. Because you keep trying so hard to help people.
I was more discussing where I stand on killing evil people. I was going to say if they're evil, I shouldn't kill them, but they're in the same vein as me. But also, I don't care. Now. If anything, if they're also evil, they're standing in my way. So kill them all.
And as a note, Barry, as she was making that last statement, you had your divine sense was tingling that she was just lying through her hair at you. That she doesn't care about things being good or evil. She only cares about her own agenda.
Yeah. Me not surprised. I mean, after all, Freya told me that she was evil. So
But Freya also told you that our little Alkin is evil, and we still travel around and support it, so you know.
Alkin is not threatening.
What do you mean I'm not threatening? I'm very threatening.
Me not really say that out loud. Me was just thinking it. Okay.
You just thought it really loudly.
Yeah. Me turn to Poplar. Me say, listen. Me not killing ugly drowned Winch yet. She should be thankful for that. Me even willing to help her and her undead progeny find a new home. Me also willing to instruct townspeople to hire actual sewer workers and not use children anymore. Me not letting evil drowned wench kill people because that is not my job.
Right.
So that was a really good speech, and the town leader hears you and comes over kind of closer behind you and just kind of says, so you can just ask them to leave, and you think they'll leave? We just have to do things a little differently?
Well, that's kind of what we've been getting at. Man, why are some people around us so stupid sometimes?
Well, I mean, this is a town of idiots. I'm the smartest one here, and even I'm an idiot.
Must be all those books that people have all around. Can't keep things in their own heads.
All right. I was just thinking of the great Eric Idle line. Anyway.
Poplar turns to the drowned wench and says, hey, lady, just a quick question. How certain are you that this is actually the town with, you know, all these people that have been killing stuff? Like, are you really certain it's this town? What if people are sneaking in and going into the well?
My children speak to me. I know all that they know.
Yeah.
This is the town.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, are children really the best sources of information on stuff? I like to think that when I was a kid, that maybe I didn't have exactly the best knowledge of stuff, including, you know, object permanence and things.
Yes, but you knew where your home was. You knew where you could go to work and return to the same place of safety and comfort. These, my children, had that taken from them.
Maybe they were lying to you because they just didn't like this place.
That is a possibility. But if they change their ways, and I would come back to check, I might go from this place and take them with me. There is a great calling that I have heard.
Well, that seems like a really good deal, don't you think, Barry and Mr. Mayor Dude?
Me willing to let me drown them.
Yeah, see? Everything's a win-win now.
The town leader shudders and agrees, and the drowned maiden moves closer to you, Barry, carefully not touching the sword in the ground, but her sunken, rotten eyes looking almost through you, and she leans forward with a hiss, a rasp in her voice, and requests, if this deal is to be struck, it must be properly sealed with a kiss.
Poplar elbows him and says, hey, I think she's into you, Barry.
Hey, Freya works in very mysterious ways.
Indeed.
Even though you're vouching to kill her the entire time.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Very odd development.
She's
as desperate as you are.
Are you saying Freya says that some creatures don't deserve love?
Okay. Just hush for a second, people. Let me talk to ugly drowned wench. God. I'm not
Now you're calling your only shot ugly?
Yeah, I mean,
No. She's not, well, she is ugly, but she was not my only shot.
Yes, she is.
No, she wasn't. You forget the priestesses a couple weeks ago. Anyway, me lean to her and say, be just the broker of deal. Me not actual, you know, the deal would be between you and townspeople.
He says, the deal is divine. You are the conduit of the god that shall maintain it.
Aw, isn't that sweet? She's acknowledging Freya. Doesn't Freya teach us that everything should be loved?
How would you know,
Pop? I've been listening to you. Just because you don't listen to me doesn't mean I don't listen to you.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah, whatever. me's like, me willing to let you go with your life and your children's lives to this place that you have calling. Me will deal with townspeople. And that is as far as it's going to go.
Let's see. She... Okay, I just wanted to make sure I'm reading all of these things right. But she has a length of stuff written about her. It's quite long.
Okay.
So... she will reach out first to try to grab you. She reaches up both hands. And that is a 19 and a 23 to grab.
Okay.
So does either of those hit your AC? I mean, I want to see if you...
Oh, yeah, 19, 23, they're both over.
Okay, well, I don't remember all your stats, so sorry. I have a world I have to maintain. I can't remember your character.
You're fine. It's just, you know, my AC is always 18. All of my characters have 18.
I'll try and remember that. And... Jason... All right, I need you to make a charisma saving throw.
Oh, all right. Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Like your highest stat.
It is, but I rolled really, really, really bad. So
like
that is a
one
nine.
Bad?
No, like five. But charisma's plus four, so that's a nine. A whopping nine.
Wow. Okay. Well, she grabs you and she lays a kiss on you before you have the ability to react. And you feel your strength melt away as you do this. In fact, you are temporarily weakened by the moment. You literally felt weak in the knees. So that will be a minus three to strength checks for the next hour. And you fight, you twist to try and pull away, horrified. Next to you, let's see, immediately next to you are Grimmel and Poplar. Do either of you react to this?
Alas.
Poplar just kind of puts his hands to his mouth and says, "Aw, it's so sweet to see true love."
Okay. Foxglove, do you?
I strum careless whisper on.
All right. Well,
can I roll performance?
Sure, if you want. Oh my god, that's a nice performance. In fact, all of you see the little children kind of take their attention away from the maiden and focus on you.
Yay! That rendition of Taylor Swisper is amazing.
And she just lets go of Barry and says it's agreed. And Barry, just for fun, let's have you make a constitution check real quick.
That is a nat one.
You just start vomiting uncontrollably. Like, this kiss was beyond the pale of any disgustingness you could imagine. You just lose your lunch.
Okay.
But, she says, it is agreed, and lets you go, and starts calling her children, and you see something that you hadn't noticed before, that from the alleyways behind where the other townspeople and the leader were, come more of children filtering out of the alleyways. She had a whole army that had followed her from the depths of the sewers, and they join up, and the ones that had been bewitched by Foxglove almost have like a switch flipped back as they turn, and she begins to walk slowly past the town leader towards the northeast corner of the square. Do you allow her to? Well, I guess you're throwing up, so she just kind of walks right past you.
Poplar pats him on the back and says, I'm starting to really believe in Freya and the power of love.
Well, looks like this ended well.
Yep. Except those little brats didn't hit me for the performance.
Oh, how rude. Poplar just reaches into his pocket and grab some random coins and says, here you go. You did a great job. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Poplar. See, this is why Poplar is the best.
So, one of the townies that had been by the well comes over and kind of helps you up, Barry. And you look pretty green. I mean, you are an orc, but you look pretty green. And the leader's like, thank you for saving us all. It's really appreciated.
They appreciate your sacrifice, Barry.
Okay. Let's see. Can I actually stand on my own right now?
Yeah, you're fine. You can write yourself. You've got that orcish constitution.
All right. Me turn around and punch Mara in the face.
Oh my god. Let's see. Just give me a 1d4 and tell me what it is real quick. I have an idea.
Jesus Christ.
Is it a one?
One. Yes.
So you do hit him square in the face. You feel just like it's exhausting to do so. You just kind of turn and pop, but because of your just massive size, you still give him a pretty good hit. He's got a trickle of blood running down his nose, and he's like, thank you for only hitting me that hard. I guess we gotta figure out what we're gonna do now. Our sewer system isn't gonna last long without them.
Well, maybe try by starting to stop killing babies. Ever think about that? Smarty pants.
Well, what do you do with your unwanted fairies?
I don't know. I mean, normally we just kind of feed them to the fungus, but I mean, that's just kind of what my mom always threatened to do to me. I'm actually not that certain. Mama was never really very constructive with telling me what to do. But she did say I was great once. She said, Poplar, you're my greatest disappointment. It was a really proud moment for me.
You know what? I think that might be the crowning achievement of your entire life, Poplar.
Being the greatest disappointment? Yeah, that's what my mom said, too.
Yeah. At least you're the best at something.
Why, thank you.
We're all just disappointments, aren't we?
Well, not with that loop performance like that.
I am a disappointment, but not for long.
Actually,
I'll show them. Show them all!
I'm
going to
see if I can pickpocket some money from the mayor. If I can roll. Oh, a 13. Does that success?
No. You go up and you try to, you do your distraction, whatever. You float over and you go like you're gonna try and pickpocket him, but he sees you and he just grabs your hand and starts shaking it. Yes, yes, thank you too. We really appreciate everything you've done here.
Why, you're welcome. Now stop killing babies.
Well, we have to figure out what we're going to do. That's thankfully, you know, your leader here was able to, you know, negotiate this peace, and they've left, but now what are we to do? How do we keep our systems running?
All right. It's at this point where I lean into the mayor and speak in a very, very menacing growl. Use city tax funds to hire people to fix your sewers.
Who aren't children.
Exactly. Adult people to fix your sewers. And if I hear another word about putting children down in sewers again, me will come back, myself, and me will kill all of you.
And you were so against us doing it.
No, like, oh, some woman who loves her kids wants to do it? Oh, that's unacceptable. You want to do it, now suddenly it's okay.
Well, yeah. Me giving Mara choice.
No, but he is
you're a hypocrite.
But he is a paladin. I think he should have to roll for deception here.
What? There's no deception. I'm meaning everything I say.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be lawful good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving him a choice. Either, you know, hire people and do things correctly, or I will take care of the problem. I just want him to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Recognize the consequences of his future decisions.
I like when Barry sees child killing by someone else as an evil act, but killing child killers by us? Oh no, that's perfectly fine. Like, if someone else wants to kill the child killers, that's unacceptable.
All right, well, he's like, all right, we'll do what we can, but you don't understand. I'm going to lose my election because I'll be the guy that raised the taxes. And then who knows what the next guy will do.
This is very easy. Just say you are saving their lives.
Okay, I'll try, but I mean,
really, you don't have choice.
Oplart tugs on Barry's tunic and says, Barry, can I help kill them too if they don't stop killing kids?
uh, me look down at Poplar and me say, maybe not. You and me will have long conversation later.
Oh, I always love conversations with you. You're so smart and have so much to say.
You're probably not going to like this one.
Aw, Barry, don't put yourself down. I like all my conversations with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway. What does the mayor say?
He agrees. Yes, yes, all right. We will make this happen. I will call an immediate session of the town council and we will discuss it. We'll figure out how to make this happen. It's going to be difficult to change our culture, our ways, but I see the wisdom of your words. We do not have a choice.
All right. And do you want me to stand in meeting? Maybe me can give them motivation.
Yes, it would be great if you could do that. And as he says that from out kind of the side of town, you see a guy kind of slink over, and it's the guy Chris that you rescued from down below, and he looks like he wants to speak to the mayor, and he kind of goes over all sheepish, and you don't listen in too carefully, but they exchange some words, and the town leader agrees, and he talks to the other guys and says, tell there shall be a meeting. Call everyone here immediately. And he calls everyone in for this negotiation. I don't feel a need for us to roleplay out all the politics. So how about we can just say that it happens and they agree to hire some quality civil engineers.
All right. I was just thinking they just needed some sewer scrubbers, but I'm not.
Yeah, waste management engineers.
Yeah, there you go.
So there seems to be an agreement, and that night you fall asleep, and in the distance out there, you swear you occasionally hear the laughter of a small child being carried upon the winds through the darkness.
How peaceful.
Yeah.
I hate children. Even undead ones.
And it's a particularly haunting sounding one, that laughter.
Well, that makes me feel better. One less child in the world.
I mean, it's still in the world, it's just undead now.
Damn it. There's not much to do about ghosts.
Alright, anyway.
Like that, life continues to be frustrating.
Well, I guess we made a pretty nice ally today.
Yeah, so everyone, yeah, so the way you came in, Gremel, is the way back out of town. If you guys wish to go back, or if you guys wish to follow, it's up to you where you want to go from here. We'll say it's the morning of the next day.
Alright, me decide to go back to Guild. I mean, we made deal, so. But me,
all right.
Very unhappy, me just kind of start stomping back to Guild.
All right, it takes a couple days, so it's a lot of stomping.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty upset.
He's exhausted by the end of it.
Should be exhausted from the beginning.
Yeah.
And Barry has learned not learned the lesson of unwanted love attention.
How true.
Well, and if I can take just a moment and break the fifth wall here. That was absolutely not how I thought any of that was going to go. Holy crap, you curveballed it.
Like, we are the group who always is attack first, ask questions later, and this time we actually, like, problem solved.
To be honest, with Poplart,
I had a whole sheet ready.
I'm just tired of, like, not abusing Poplart's non-combat powers. Like, everyone else gets cool combat powers, like, oh, I can do magic, or I can attack all these different ways. I just want him to actually use his, basically, lying skills.
The thing is, actually, you have really good combat powers.
Once a turn.
Because, I mean, you're only level 6, and you're still doing, you know, it takes me 2 attacks to do the damage that you
do. But it's very conditional. They have to be in certain ways and stuff. Otherwise...
Yeah, you have to hide first and fire from high. And, yeah. So, no, yeah. But, yeah, no, anyway, so you had it all planned out for some epic battle, didn't you?
I did. I expected that, but that's all right. I didn't know how it was going to go. I thought it was, it was fun. Anyway, you make it back to the guild.
He's a sympathetic bad guy. He had to sympathize with her because, I mean, she just wants to stop babies from being killed.
Yes.
But she still is evil.
Just because she looks ugly doesn't mean she's bad. Life lessons.
Yeah, she is bad.
No, she actually is bad.
She is bad. She is 100% bad.
To be fair, if I was in that situation, I probably would have tried to convince her to join my evil army. So, which I just rolled a 24 for, so that probably would have worked.
Yes, well, he didn't.
I probably would have.
Yeah, but then we would have had a slaughter of village, anyway. and then everyone except Barry wins, but, you know.
Anyway, all right, so, yeah. Now, Barry's very, very upset.
Barry.
He's very, very serious.
All right. So on our way back, Barry decides to have a heart-to-heart with the rest of the group.
Okay.
So me talk to the rest of the group and me like, all right, if I am going to be in a group with other people, I need to know that me can trust them to have my back unconditionally. And this last time, you guys did not. So, me thinking about leaving and joining different adventuring groups.
Don't do that, Barry. We just didn't want to kill, like help out child killers. What's so bad about that?
Also, you know, we all have different opinions about things. You can't just control what we think and want to do in a situation.
Well, yeah. You put me in a very bad position where it sounds like it was going to be me against everybody else, so me not appreciate that, and
maybe you should learn how to compromise, you know. We compromise all the time.
And when me was sitting there puking on the ground because me was so sick, you guys did not even help. So
I just thought that your goddess is all about love, and, you know, this creature was showing you love. Like, I don't understand, Barry. Like,
no.
you know we love you.
Yeah, me don't feel very loved right now.
I thought you felt too loved earlier.
Me feel like... No. Me feel very betrayed right now by the people that are supposed to help me, and me getting tired of taking all damage for the group. So me just saying things need to change a little bit, or me finding other group that will help
Poplart
me more.
Goes up and gives Barry a hug and says, "Aw, Barry, you know you're always going to be my number one meat shield. No one else has ever done that for me."
And if you do this to me again, me not going to be your meat shield anymore.
Barry, come on.
No, me serious, Poplar.
Okay, that seems fair. I mean, you do feel very hurt, but I mean, I do have one question. Maybe if you tell us, it'll help us understand. Actually, maybe two questions. Like, first one being, like, you always say your goddess is about love and spreading love, but you didn't seem to want to spread love here. So what was with that?
Me goddess also told me that creature was thoroughly evil. And two, me not really wanting to get into any kind of pact with something evil, because me not sure, there might be unintentional consequences.
Okay, so that leads to the second question. Like, we were here to clean out the sewers, but turns out that the people above ground were kind of evil themselves, like killing kids and just throwing them in the sewer. Like, why are we supposed to support that? Like, you know that we support you, okay. Why do we have to support killing kids?
Poplart, you need to just stop with that particular train of thought right now. We were sent to do a job to protect the townspeople, because the townspeople are part of the society that we are part of.
But if that society's bad, should we support it?
Okay. Poplart, it's less talking, more listening right now. It's not about right and wrong. It's about we were given a job to do, and we gave our word that we would do the job. And we need to give them a chance to change their ways. And if they don't change their ways, then they can be punished. But they need that chance first, because they did not know they were doing wrong. That? Not if you let evil brown woman kill off everyone in town.
I understand. So every bad person we come across needs to have a chance to change their ways before we punish them.
Yeah, that seems fair. If you're going for redemption, I mean, if there's...
Okay, Poplart, then you get to talk to all evil people first, and I will be right behind you.
Well, now I'm extra confused, because you literally just said that evil people need to have a chance to change their ways before we punish them, and...
I was talking about the townspeople specifically.
Oh, why? Because they're better looking than this person that wanted to kill them?
Because they are part of society that we are charged
but
to protect.
Weren't the drug dealers also part of the society that we just slaughtered?
No, they existed outside of the
but
society.
If you kill kids, that means you're part of society. But if you deal drugs, that means you're not part of society.
Sometimes society can be complicated.
Yes, pretty much.
I'm just trying to understand, Barry. I'm not trying to be like... complicated or anything, but just sometimes these rules seem really complex and I don't really understand. So basically,
if
they're rich, they're bad and don't deserve redemption, but if they're poor, they're semi-bad and do deserve redemption. The drug dealers.
I have no idea. That one came out of nowhere.
Dealers. They had lots of money. Mm-hmm. They offered us money. And now they didn't deserve redemption.
But they didn't actually have money. But...
they also lived in a warehouse in the middle of nowhere. That's not how rich people
live. Maybe they had a mansion and, you know, that we just caught them at their place of business. I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the logic I don't make a mistake in the future, because I don't want to be not your friend, Barry. You're so nice.
It just reminds me of that show that drove me crazy. I couldn't watch much of it. Arrow or something like that, where it was like all the poor people he would just kill without thought, but then the rich person was like, no, I'll change. So he's like, okay, I'll let you go. It's really...
Yeah, I never watched any of those shows.
Well, because he was rich himself, so therefore he had to show mercy to his own kind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anyway. All right, let's hand wave the heart to rest of the heart to heart. You guys got it figured out. And
well, yeah, for the most part, Poplar is
well,
still.
Well, because it is confusing the moral the moral standards well, we're going to.
His intelligence is the I think he's now the lowest intelligence of the whole crew.
I don't know. Like, so, I don't think so, because I refuse to put my intelligence above 8. It's been at 8 since the beginning. Like, just dumb enough to not be able to read. But still...
I'm going to Poplar.
Oh, yeah, okay. Where are you?
But he, no, see, point. The problem isn't his intelligence. It's his wisdom in this case, because he's as wise as the average person. And you know how much the average person can be swayed by propaganda and statements. So he keeps getting swayed either way.
Fair.
And his only moral compass is doing the right thing that he's convinced is right.
Yeah, whatever he's convinced as at that moment.
Exactly.
At that moment.
That's the ultimate conundrum. It's like he's trying to figure out what exactly is right so that he can do the right thing.
Morality.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining during this whole like heart-to-heart thing and Barry being mad, Grimmel's just off to the side like, I choose anarchy, so... I don't respect any authority unless it's me.
anarchy. We must come together to oppose the oppression.
Oppose any kind of... We must come together to oppose any
anarchists
kind of
united.
Whatsoever. All right. Anyway. Okay. So, after a while, Barry's just like, you know, kind of gives up and he's like, whatever, we'll just see about things moving forward. But yeah, he's not an incredibly happy man right now. So anyway, back to the Adventurers Guild we go.
All right. Well, you make your way back there and eventually walk through the door. Looking a bit haggard and greeted by fellow adventurers. And I'm sure eventually you go up and talk with Linda and express some of your displeasure with how things went. And she
me's not too unhappy at the way things went, because it actually turned out pretty well. Me just wants to get paid.
Oh, well then, by all means, she makes sure you get paid from the Guild treasury.
Perfect. And then, me turn around and split it into 4 ways and give it to rest of party.
Nice. Oh, you guys are pretty flush at the moment, so I don't know if you... I know you needed to replace your javelin.
Oh, yeah. Well, me probably should sleep first. Oh, I've slept. I'm back up to full health, so... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You've been traveling.
Are there places around here that sell magical stuff?
Right. Well, I mean, you are in the guild where a lot of that is, you can get some magical things through
that. I was just thinking that maybe Poplar would want to, get some slightly better weapons. Since all he has are his basic dagger and short bow.
Well, that's all any of us have right now, are basic weapons. Maybe we should talk to Linda about going on quest for magical items. Or talk to bartender. Tell you what, yeah, me going to go to bartender, drink some beer, continue to try to get taste of ugly drowned wench out of me mouth, and then ask him about good places to find magical weapons.
Lots of places, and rumors fly about this and that. I mean, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a sword or spear or a hammer? What are you looking to do?
Well, me would love to have me would love to have magic longsword. little fairy man over there would love to have magic bow and arrows for himself. I imagine everyone in our party would like to have, you know, a magical weapon of some kind or another.
I'm gonna get Bruce a crown. Just cause. He needs an accessory.
And the bartender kind of scratches his head. Yeah. That makes sense, I guess. I'm sure there's a jeweler around here that will get you something for that.
It has to be a magic crown. Bruce is a king. He deserves the best.
Sure, that's fine.
I don't know. My heart's taking a turn. Bruce has grown on me. He has done much for us, and I wish to finally reward his good behavior, as I have promised all who join my army of evil as well. Bruce, would you like the crown? You want?
He just kind of looks up at you, and he kind of shakes back and forth, like, why?
Because you're gonna look so dapper. Do you not want a crown? Would you rather have a fedora or something?
Saratan teaches me to be natural. But I do suppose I could wear something.
Well, if it's made from rock, then Saratan would probably appreciate it.
He licks his eye and says, I like that idea. Crown of rock.
I like the way you think.
Me turn back to bartender and be like, anyway, maybe you could give me a list of locations and then we can go find these things.
Yeah, sure. That works. Where do you want to go first? Here's the list. And he just like throws down a list of some scribbles, but only one of you can read it.
Me hand it to Foxglove. Foxglove, what does this say?
Do you have money for me to read it?
Me can get somebody else to read it. Me take it back and go to Linda. Me say, Linda, what does this say?
She looks at it and is like, oh, it looks like you got a whole list of items there and yeah, some places where looks like they were last seen. These don't look like official guild sanctioned quests, though. These just look like some random dungeons.
Me fine with that right now. Me and the crew need better gear.
Okay, well, you know, we got the blacksmith over there. I'm sure he could, help you out, fix you up a bit.
Well, me go ask blacksmith about pricing.
He's like, well, you're a guild member, so you get a discount, you know. What are you looking to do? Prove that axe you got or sword you got there, and make that a bit sharper. Or, maybe put a better temper on the edge. Could clean up that armor a bit, make it a bit nicer.
Sure, I mean, you can clean up armor. Me looking for enchanted weapons. Just to see it.
I don't work with the magics here. You're going to have to go deal with the magic folks about that. But if you want me to work what you got, make it into maybe a fine weapon or something, I can definitely improve it for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, depends. How much it cost?
Oh, well, you know, not too bad. You know, give me a gold piece and a day, and I'll sharpen that blade up for you, put a new temper on it, you know, make it quite the fine sword.
Okay, that's fine. And then me give you armor, and you can improve that as well.
All right, you slump down the armor, and he starts looking over it, and like, oh, yes, yes, many improvements can be made here. So what we'll do is, let's say you give him an extra day and a couple gold pieces for the armor, and he adds an extra point of AC that, and for the weapon, he makes it into a fine weapon, so you can roll for damage twice and take the higher number.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, like, so if it's normally, what, a 1d10? Just roll that 1d10 twice and take the higher number.
Okay.
All right, anyone else?
Do you have any magical rocks?
You hear him like kind of chuckle, and the guy's like, well, this here anvil's the most magical rock I've ever owned. You see, it came out of the ground as a single solid piece of ore, and I wailed on with my hammer with this rough shape. I heated the end and hewed this hole, and I use it every day here. This is my favorite and best magic rock.
Yeah, that's great. But I need some magic rocks that I can, like, make something out of, you know?
Well, let's see. I've got this coal here. It's pretty magical. You put fire to it and you blow air, or you blow air to it with some fire and it makes a whole bunch of heat. Pretty neat.
You're useless to me. I just walk off.
Okay. All right. Well, assuming that Foxglove just is like, yeah, I'm just gonna get my instrument.
Yeah. Just generate money. I seem to be doing pretty well, yes. So.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I mean, if I could somehow get a magical loot, you know.
Poplart wanders back in while you guys are going around.
Well, let's.
Goes up to Barry and says, hey, Barry, sorry about the misunderstanding earlier, and also you know. Losing your javelin and stuff, so I bought you a gift. Friends?
No. I hope this is
helpful, you know, for you. Like, you seem to like these. And Poplart presents Barry with a javelin.
Did you actually pay for this with little shiny bits, or did you pick it up?
Of course I paid for it. Like, it would be rude to not pay somebody for something. Like, nobody leaves something like this just lying around. It's not like gold coins and stuff that just fall out of people's pockets all the time.
All right. Me take javelin, me say, okay, you take this in humble gratitude. Thank you, Poplart. But what I really need from you is I need to know that I have your support if things are about to go
Barry, down. Of course you have my support. The only thing I don't support are evil people. And those people at the last places seemed a bit evil, so that's why I didn't really support them. You know this.
Okay, anyway.
And all sometimes right. I think cool. maybe we your cool moral compass might be a little bit off and need some calibration, but that's okay. That's what friends are for.
All right. That's fine.
All right. And what is the javelin that Poplart gave him?
Oh, it's so. It's kind of a mixed bag. It gives you plus two bonus to attack and damage rolls. And if you throw it, the normal and long range increases by 30 feet. And you get a bump up one extra damage die from your normal javelin throw, which I think it's like, so if you normally roll a d6, you can bump up to a d8.
Wow, that's all pretty good.
Hey, Poplart doesn't skimp on this gift.
Here's the catch. So the catch is, when you use that weapon to attack an enemy, if you can see another enemy of a higher challenge rating, you have disadvantage on that roll. So basically, it always tries to find the highest challenge rating target.
Okay. That's fine. All right.
I found a list of weapon curses and was reading through it, and that was the funniest one to me. Just like, oh, I have to use this on something.
All right. Okay, we'll try it out here. Okay, so anyway, a couple days, I get my improved stuff.
Yep.
So me looking at list of random dungeons, because, you know, Poplart's saying he wants enchanted weapons, so me tried to figure out which one of those dungeons would potentially give Poplart that.
Well, let's see. So as you're going through the you know, you find some, or Linda to talk to read it to you, and she basically gives you a couple of options, but the one that seems kind of the best is this thing you see called the Dagger of Venom.
Ooh.
And it... Yeah.
All right.
Is that something that Poplart wishes to go for?
All right. So me talk to Poplart. Me say, all right, Poplart, does this sound, are you interested in getting Dagger
of course. If Barry suggests it, Barry can, Poplart agrees. That's what friends do. They trust each other, right?
yes, Poplart. All right. So yeah, we're going to get Dagger, and hopefully we not faced with a moral conundrum.
Oh, there's never a moral conundrum with me. Just be good. Which Barry excels at, because Poplart trusts Barry.
All right. So yeah, where is Dagger of Venom supposedly located?
Well, according to the description, it's in a small Yuan Ti temple far to the south from the city.
Okay. Yuan Ti, huh? All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Excellent. Well, I take it you guys decide to shove off?
I think so.
I guess maybe we can find magical rocks.
I could be wrong, but I don't think very many magical rocks float in the ocean or something. But, yeah, you know, I've been proven wrong before.
Never know.
Well, you guys are currently... on one of the largest islands, or continents, I should say, out there. And you easily could, you could walk for a long distance going south here before you hit water.
You're assuming we're not lazy.
Yes, but there is a massive forest to the south of you. Like, Brazil-sized forest.
But there's a Brazilian trees in there.
All right. And so are you suggesting we should maybe take a ship and sail around the continent and land on the south portion of it?
That's definitely an option. People used to sail from New York to California by going through Panama because it was easier than going straight across the U.S.,
Yep, that's true. All right, let us do that.
All right. Well, yes, you are able to find you're able to find passage on one of the local ships relatively easy. Captain is quite fond of adventurers' people. He finds them rather enjoyable as they tell him stories and keep him happy. So all he asks for in return is, a couple gold to cover his basically meal expenses for you.
Okay. Me give him a couple gold.
Awesome. Well, he's very happy to take you on this journey. And it does take a couple days of, getting everything set up and then heading out. And you guys are actually getting quite used to this. Going downriver and out across the bar and heading south. And in fact, you in this area as you're floating down now to the southwest around this place. You're like, wait. We came through here going the other way with those guys just recently.
Right.
It's a small world after.
Yeah. I'm just saying you're starting to become familiar with the world, it's becoming a place that is not so foreign to you.
Okay. Cool.
There it is. Sorry, I'm also, as I was giving this description, trying to find you the full breakdown of that weapon, so you'd have all the stats for it.
Nice. Okay.
Alright, I think I got it all. Okie dokie. So, yeah, you guys successfully sail all the way down and around to the southern landing point. What you find is basically an enclave, a safe space, a port where the land kind of lets in, and you find a cove that they've can take the ship into. There's kind of a fishing village here. It's not much of anything to write home about. It's just a small spot that occasionally gets visited. There's, supplies available. Nothing fancy. More like a small, like you'd find a Norwegian town, say. One of those idyllic, like, come here for the tourism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm.
So me disembark, and then me go to me look around town and see what is in town.
Is there a magic rock shop?
You definitely find a rock shop. You could go see if there's anything.
They're not rocks, they're minerals.
All right. Yeah, sure. They're rot. Whatever. Who cares? Not me. All right. I look around to find a rock that I think. I look around the rock shop and see if I can find any rocks that fit Bruce's stature.
Ah. Well, are you looking for something magical?
Well, yeah, but I'll just look for rocks and I could probably do an Arcana check. Unless they have, like, a magic rock section.
They don't have a magic rock section. That's why I was asking. If you're looking for something magical, you're going to need to do an Arcana check.
I know. So, first, I just need to find rocks that fit for Bruce, because if they don't fit for Bruce, then what's the point?
I mean, so basically, you're looking for a rock that fits, as in something that would balance on his head, that type of a thing?
Actually, you know what? I guess it doesn't matter, because I can just carve rocks off if it's too big. Okay. Yeah, I'll look around for something that looks magical. I'll investigate.
Okay. Well, roll your Arcana to see what...
Okay.
You know, what speaks to you magically.
I rolled a nat one.
Yeah, you don't sense anything here. You're like, nope. There's nothing. This place is a total letdown.
Wow. Bruce, what about you? Do you see anything you think you might like?
He just kind of glances around. And he's like, oh, pretty crystal.
Wow. I look at the crystal he mentions.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a sparkly, purpley gem. And he's just kind of, as he looks at it, he kind of wobbles his eye a little, does his little wom wom wom, and so he can see it back to himself, and he just kind of has a moment of like, almost, you could almost see him smiling, and then he just turns away.
I will grab the rock and go to the cashier.
All right. Yeah, you grab that and walk over to this cashier that, you know, looks a little off to you. You know, definitely heavy set for a human, not like fat, but like a almost too muscly. Especially for a rock shop owner.
Okay. Maybe he mines his own rocks, who am I to know?
So he kind of gives you an eye and is just like, okay, couple silver.
All right, I toss him a couple silver.
Like, all right, on. Enjoy.
Ha! Rock is mine.
Yeah, he's just like, okay.
Well, alright. How long are we gonna be in this town?
As long as you guys want.
Alright. Is there any, like, shop I can get this fashion into a crown? Fit for the best toad?
I think you just left it.
Wait, really?
Well, it's just,
okay, well, just generally a rock shop isn't known for their craftsmanship. Okay, like,
Well, I mean, you're basically in a fishing village. This is a place where the dude's hanging out. He's got some, like, wares, but you know, you're not going to find much other than, like, fishermen, net supply, some food stores, you know, maybe a rendering plant, you know, stuff like that for just basically life functions. There's not going to be... there. You might find a jeweler, you know. Maybe roll a die and see here. I mean... I rolled a 6, so I'm going to say if you find one, he's going to be kind of crappy.
Well, I rolled, like, a 4 for investigation, so I don't think I found one.
Yeah, so you've got a pretty rock, but you just don't have anyone to carve it for you.
Alright, well, I guess I sulk back to the rock shop guy and, like, can you fashion this into anything? Like, you good with carving or something?
He kind of looks at you. It's like, carve? What you want?
I want a crown to fit this toe, and I pull out Bruce and show him.
He squints and for a moment kind of gets lost staring into Bruce's eyes. Bruce, and kind of turns away, not realizing his own hypnotic ability was on. And then the guy, like, I'll try something. Sure, why not?
Ooh. If you mess it up, you owe me a refund.
He's like, okay. Sure. Takes the crystal and holds it up and starts looking at it and thinking. It's like, you come back in while.
Oh, okay. Alright, so as long as we come back here at some point, I'll be fine. Alright. I'll head out, find my companions.
Right on.
Okay, so meanwhile, he's doing that. I'm wandering around. So there's no... It's just like a little fishing village then, right?
Yep.
Okay, so me go to nearest pub.
Okay, you find a... the pub of the pier, a little sea shanty looking place.
Perfect. Me go in, me order beer, and then me say, me looking for resting place of Dagger of Venom in a Wan Ti temple somewhere north of here. Have you heard of it?
Most of the people move away, but the old bartender is like, oh. You're looking to head up there, are you? Yeah, that's not a good place. We tell people to stay away from there. The temple may have been owned by them snake folk, but others have moved in. Not sure who might be there now, but last I heard, there were hobgoblins.
Oh. Okay. Alright. Well, thanks. Can you give me directions to where it is?
Oh, from here, not too far to the north. Take the pathway out of town. Go up until right. Right when you're about to see the sun setting, if you leave at noon. And when you're there, stop. Wait for the moon to rise, and you can see it dancing. The light reflects off of it across the hills, like a ghostly building.
Okay. Thanks for the, picturesque directions.
Well, I don't believe in just giving you a waypoint and following it until you get to your quest destination.
All right, here.
How efficient of you.
Have extra silver for good directions.
Appreciate it. He just kind of flicks it behind him into a pot without looking, like he's done it 1,000 times.
He hustled you.
No, he hit the tip jar perfectly.
Besides, you might not know about this conversation. You're busy trying to get your shiny rock mate put into a crown.
True. And if he doesn't do it right, I'll have his innards.
Okay. All right. So I guess we hang out in the town long enough for Grimble to receive his crown. How does that turn out?
Oh, I guess Grimmel goes back the next day, you know, since you, I'm assuming you said something about getting out of there, you know, around noonish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Grimmel goes back to check, and the guy's like, well, I've been working on it, and I'm not sure if I'm the most skilled at this, but I kind of made an attempt. And he holds out. He did all right. I rolled a 15. So, yeah, he holds out a little, like a piece of rock that's had a little indent carved in it, and then he put along a little piece of like felt to make it soft, and there's a little strap that you can tie around Bruce's head.
Ah, wonderful, thank you. And I toss him like a gold piece.
Like, you're welcome. Tell friends?
Like and subscribe.
Sure, why not? Also, if you're looking for something better in life, have I got the plan for you? And I start campaigning to him about, you know, evil to overlord and all that jazz. And how, if you'd like, you can just sign up to join my evil army. I'll come back to collect him in like a year or two, and then we can take over the world. Can I roll persuasion?
Yeah, please roll persuasion.
15.
He's relatively easily swayed. He's like, oh, okay. Sounds interesting. Sure.
I asked you to sign here, and here, and here.
He just kind of taps it in those places, making like little tiny marks.
Good enough. I'll take care of it. All right. Thank you, sir. See you again in a couple years. Train for army fitness. Haha. All right. Bye. I'm so okay, good at evil.
He just kind of waves his little hands, like kind of making just his hands making a wave motion, like his fingers are as you're going out. Just like, oh, okay.
Thank you. Come again.
I fixed a little crown on Bruce, and I'm like, how's that feel, Bruce?
Weird.
Wow. I mean, I guess if you don't like it, then I'll find something else for it, but I got it for you. It'd be kind of rude.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I just not used to having a rock on my head.
Oh, well.
maybe Bruce would prefer a tongue stud.
We're such a studly toad.
It can glitter in the light whenever he wants to catch a bug.
Ah, true. That'll be nice. If you want one, Bruce.
Or you put something in there so at the end of his tongue, like a little spear point or something, so he can look, stab something.
No, that's true. I was gonna say he could use, if we put like a little shiny thing on his tongue, you could attract like moths with it at night. Mm-hmm. Like if we put something that glows on his tongue.
A little enchanted, enchanted rock. Let him go night fishing.
He's like, can you pick me up? I don't want to just sit here.
Okay, I'm gonna put Bruce up and put him on my head.
You feel him scurry around and try to, like, find the better position. Yeah. He's a little top-heavy now, so he's having a little trouble.
All right, so anyway, so we start out on the northern trail, heading towards the temple.
Awesome. Do you leave at noon, as he told you?
Hopefully. If, you know, Bruce's crown got done in time.
I think we can assume it did. I just didn't know if you how good you were at making follow directions.
Probably a 50-50 roll.
Well, here, all right. I got a D100 right here. Let's see. I guess we should ask which 50. Is high 50 or low 50 successful?
Let's go. Since you're rolling, let's go with high 50.
Well, then you're successful. I rolled a 60.
See, if it were me rolling, I would have gone with low 50.
Awesome. Well, then yes, you leave at noon and you set off. And you walk until the sun sets and the moon begins to rise. And as the first light of the moon's rays comes over the hill, you do see in the distance a shimmering structure out on the top of a hill.
All right, me head for structure.
Awesome. You work your way through relatively, you know, thin underbrush. It's this forest doesn't seem to be particularly thick. Always able to see the shining of the structure in the light. And what you find when you arrive is a dome, almost like a turtle shell that's been mounded and carved out of the earth and capped with basically similar crystalline gems to what the crown of Bruce was carved out of. They refract and glow in the sunlight. In fact, at this point, and realize, as he has been following you this whole time, that Bruce's crown is also glowing in the moonlight.
Great. Maybe some moths will be attracted to the glowing crown.
Strangely, you notice there are no moths in this area. In fact, there doesn't seem to be any insects anywhere around this structure.
This structure has really good automatic bug repellent, apparently. All right, anyway, me make me way towards structure.
Okay. You approach and you see that the dome seems relatively complete. You don't see an obvious means of entry.
Okay. I guess me attempt investigation.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Dirty one. Yeah. I rolled a 4, but it's minus 3 for my investigation.
All right. Well, you search around and you're just stumped. You're like, nothing here but crystals glowing. Can't see anything.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any ideas?
Hoplite's going to try and show off.
Not particularly.
Poplar got a dirty 6.
Okay. What is Poplar?
Poplar, you are so in agreement with Barry. You're just like, yep, Barry, you're absolutely right.
He feels bad about making Barry feel bad. Like, that's not a good thing to do.
Oh, good lord. Okay. All right, so what does outside of temple look like?
Other it's like than a turtle shell.
Looks like a turtle shell, huh?
Yeah, so kind of like a, you know, a turtle shell covered in those crystals.
All right, so me take a butt of javelin and just kind of tap on, you know, all the way along outside of dome, see if maybe something sounds different.
Oh, I like that. Give me a perception check.
All right, one second. I'm going to switch dice here because my normal dice is letting me down tonight. Ah, much better. Ooh, that is actually a 19.
Wow. All right, yeah, you work your way around and you finally find an area that it doesn't sound hollow, it sounds empty. Like you're hitting the side of an empty wine glass.
Huh, okay.
So like everywhere else you're hitting the crystal and it sounds like you're hitting rock, but right there it was just like dink.
All right, me put hands out and feel around crystals.
Let's see. As you slide your fingers around, you can tell that there's something here that should be able to move. Like there's a wiggle to the crystal you grabbed.
Me try wiggling.
Okay.
Barry doesn't fully understand. He wiggles his head.
What's a good
instead.
Wiggle check? Let's just... Yeah. How about roll a strength check real quick? I want to... Tell me what you get.
16.
Oh, yeah. So you go and start wiggling, and you just yank the thing out, which causes the other crystal around it to just collapse inward, and you see before you the entrance to this place descending down into the ground.
Nice one, Barry.
Perfect. Thanks, Poplart. Well, shall we go down?
Did we lose the other players?
I don't know.
Yeah. Shall into the darkness.
Well, Poplar does whatever Barry wants because Poplar's still feeling guilty about questioning Barry's decisions, even though he feels Barry was absolutely wrong. But he doesn't want to lose a friend.
this is going to be fun.
Well, secretly, Poplite's questioning whether or not Barry actually is really that good, because in comparison to, like, our Alkin, Barry's the only one who actually wanted something evil to happen. So, yeah. But Poplite believes in Barry and doesn't want to lose Barry as a friend.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, man. Poplar's very good about going from one extreme to the other, isn't he?
Well, he's been, you know, treated bad enough in his life that he's not going to, you know, jump to conclusions. Like, maybe Barry's just being misunderstood.
All right. Very nice. Oh, okay. Anyway, let's see how long this slavish devotion rubs wrong, very wrong, but I think at the moment he'll just kind of take what he can get.
Probably a good idea. All right, well. Oh my god. You descend into the ground. You find that the walls feel like a hand-laid but reinforced masonry. The floor is uneven, but you can feel that it is a split flagstone that has been laid piece by piece with relatively small joints between each section. It's interestingly warm, like warmer than the ambient outside temperature. And there's just a bit of phosphorescent glow coming from some fungi that are poking out of crevices along the floor and some along the ceiling, just at the where the ceiling meets the wall.
Okay.
Let's see. At the base of the stairs, straight away from you, you see a portcullis made out of old wood that seems to be rotting away, but you don't see anything behind it. It is closed, though. Perhaps something was once in there. And then to the side, there's the passage goes, and I'll just adjust this for cardinal directions. We'll say the passage goes to the west.
Okay. And whereabouts is the portcullis in relation to the passage?
So, due south.
Okay, and then which way did we come in then?
You came from the north. You were heading south.
Okay, alright. Just make sure I get all my directions correct. Okay,
me look through portcullis to see if me can see anything.
You want to give me you're investigating, I guess, or just, yeah, well, I guess you can just look in. I'll just say you just look in. You don't see anything from just looking in.
Okay. Well, then me try to rip portcullis down, since you say it's kind of half rotting.
Yeah. So you're going to try and break it. All right. Yeah. Roll a strength check.
To do that, Poplart is going to try and inspect the area around to see if there's a keyhole. Because he's such a great rogue.
All right, me get 21.
Oh, yeah, you shatter through it.
Considering Poplart got a dirty one. Yeah, that's much better. Papa got distracted by flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
He's okay. The best rogue in the world.
Yeah, we should start calling ourselves Bumbletown or something.
Oh, Papa's really good at deceiving people because everyone trusts him so much since he's so stupid. Like, he couldn't possibly have any negative intentions with us, because how could he ever think about having something negative going on?
Sounds about right. Anyway, so, is it just like a room or something that we step into?
Yeah, so you bust through and step inside, and it's about a, 15-foot square. Nothing fancy. Your portcullis was in the northeast corner of the room facing north. And as you just kind of step inside, you look around, and it looks almost like this place just held some animals. There's claw marks on the walls, and nothing written per se, but there's an area where the floor has a little carve out that looks like it could have been a bowl or dish.
Oh, okay, like a little depression where it might have held water.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. All right, since me not see anything interesting, me turn around and then me go into west corridor.
Okay. Let me grab... All right, as you go down to the west, you reach a point where first you see in front of you, there is what looks like a very rusted old Iron Maiden on the wall, hanging open. And then as you stand, you look and you can see that there is another passage which goes to the north. And up that way, there is what appears to be a archway that goes into a darkened space beyond. But just before that, there's also another passage that goes off to the east. Or to the west, sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, we came from the passage going east.
I know, I got flipped around because I was trying to over-describe. So basically, you're facing west, there's a torture device in front of you. You can go north and about 10 feet up to the north. You can take a left and go west down a passage, or keep going north. There's a door up another, 10 feet that way that leads to somewhere.
East side to the west side, no diggity.
All right. Me try going north through archway.
Okay. Walk up there. So, at first, it was like this room was darkened. And then, as you walk through the archway, you realize it's actually illuminated from the center. There is a room here that is about, it's about 30 feet in diameter and circular. In the center of it, about 10 to 15 feet of it is a pool. This looks like it was a natural formation that they just built around. And it is glowing just slightly, and it giving the illumination to the space. On the east wall, you see what looks like writing that was rubbed in using blood.
Meek look over at Grimmel and say, what does writing say?
Alright, I'll use my invocation to read it.
Okay. You go over and you use that invocation, and all it says is temperance.
Well, that seems great.
All right. Random. Okay, anything else in the room?
Just that big glowing pool, which seems to also have a little bit of sparkle to it.
Oh no, does it attract pop art?
Of course it does!
It is shiny.
Poplar has the attention span of a toddler.
So what does Poplar do?
Oh, shiny.
Yes, it's very shiny. What are you going to do about that?
Approach it and then most likely touch it because Poplart sees with his hands, not his eyes.
Fair enough. It feels, as you touch it, it feels very cold, but yet inviting. And in fact, as you hold your hand in it for a minute, you suddenly feel a warmth moving up your body from it, almost like a tingly sensation.
Oh. Guys, you should totally touch this. Not, it's so not. Awesome.
Yeah. Me not trust Poplar's decision making, so me go up right beside him, ready to grab him if all of a sudden something were to happen.
Well, Poplar, what do you do?
I mean, I grab a hold of it. So comfortable. So okay, nice.
So you like take up a scoop?
Yeah, of course. And what's the worst that can happen?
Okay. Well, you hold it up in your hands and the glowing illuminates you. And as you look at your hands, you see that they are become like smooth and almost, I don't know, more lively than they looked before.
Guys, check this out. It's so cool. And then Poplart shoves a little bit into his mouth.
As you feel it run down your throat, you suddenly feel just like incredible burst of energy. And Barry, you're looking at him through this, and he suddenly becomes just absolutely beautiful. Like, almost too beautiful to look at.
Okay. Me watch him very cautiously. Me just kind of shake his head. Shake my head. Kind of wondering what's going to go wrong now.
Well, nothing if he touched the goop. Well, oh, it's perfect.
He does seem incredibly convincing. You know, trying to get you to take a drink.
Yeah, me going to wait 5 minutes or so and make sure something bad doesn't happen.
Something random in your mouth.
Well, he holds out his hands and he's like, Barry, you should try it. I think, let's see, Alex, roll, do a persuasion check here.
All right. Let me do a quick check. I'm using D20. Barry, you might be in trouble, considering the fact that considering the fact that Poplart got 20 on his persuasion.
Okay.
Dirty
20? Okay. So I guess roll your...
Do I get like a charisma saving throw or something?
I guess, because it would be... Yeah, I guess. Yeah, go ahead and do your charisma saving throw.
Okay. So that is 17 plus 6 is 23.
Wow, yeah, so you just like, no, I don't think so. You're fine there, buddy.
That's actually impressive considering Poplar has like a plus 12 to persuasion. I just rolled really shitty.
Well, I have a +6 on my charisma saving throw, and I rolled a 17, so.
That's awesome.
I mean, you can't fault that. I mean, Poplite really tried.
Yes, he did.
Like, normal human beings wouldn't be able to resist that, but for some reason, Ultra Priest of Freya can resist the lures of Brownie Man.
Well, yeah, without an issue.
I've got a 19 on my charisma, so, you know, I think as a group, we're all pretty dumb, but we're all really high in charisma.
That's because we're lovable dumb people.
That must be it. We're like natural politicians or something.
We're just himbos and bimbos.
So,
yeah, we're just...
All right, so speaking of which, you guys both just witnessed this, and you were looking at Poplart, and he is more beautiful than anything you've ever seen right now.
This is odd.
Or you're just really hungry. I mean, he does smell like brownies, remember?
That's true.
But you currently smell like the best brownies ever created.
Gross.
Or whatever, like, you know.
Well, in your case, maybe the best smelling dead rat ever.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, that's very
It's a dead
attractive.
Rat brownie.
Rat brownie. Just like mom used to make.
Brownie, but better.
A roadkill brownie.
Do you guys? I mean. Since you guys witnessed this, are you interested at all? Since you just watched him drink the water and become so pretty, and he offered to Barry. Barry said no. What do you guys say? Or do you guys think?
I'll take the water that makes you gorgeous. People will pay me loads more.
I'll drink the shiny water.
I like how Papa just needs
to try. All right, you guys jump in. So you guys, how much do you drink? Just a little or a lot, or how are you doing this after witnessing Poplart?
I'll just drink a little bit. I don't need that much. Yeah. I'm already gorgeous.
Perfect. Yeah, a little bit, just because, you know, living on the streets, I've learned not to drink just anything. So, just a little bit.
Living on the streets, you've learned to
so you guys eat
it, whatever comes your way.
Yeah. So... You take each take a sip, and Barry, you witness this, and you just kind of watch them out of the corner of your eye as they both suddenly both just become almost angelic. Like, you didn't think a bird could actually look attractive, but it does.
All right. Me, let's see here. Let me look at my equipment list here.
You're telling me, Barry, that if a beautiful owlin lady came your way, you wouldn't be attracted to it?
Barry's very subjective when it comes to his love of stuff.
It's weird.
Yeah, not so pretty, right. But still female undead comes his way. He's like, no, I won't want to touch you. But, like, anything else is like, okay.
So, you know, me don't have extra canteen, but me going to mark this spot, and if me find extra, like, bottle or something, me will take, fill it up and take bottle back with me.
Okay. Noted.
And then that way, you know, maybe it'll help me game later once we get back.
All right. Well, did you guys want to? We'll say you want to say you walk out of here and take that passage to the west.
Yeah. Well, actually, this might not be a bad spot to stop.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Is we leave with you guys beginning to walk down this passage as the camera tips up and fades to black.
Perfect.
Thank you.
I was just trying to get you, you know, to a pathway so we could pick up next time and just be like, you know, we left off walking down this tunnel and then, you know, can go from there.
Okay. Now, hopefully the hobgoblins don't find these three irresistible.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Not sure if it would be a good or bad thing. They'd either say, yeah, take whatever you want because you're so pretty, or, hey, look, breeding stock.
I'm giving him ideas. You know that would just be Barry to the rescue again, right? Which is exactly what you didn't want to happen. You literally sat us down and said that this can't happen anymore. And now you're just letting it happen.
Well, no, Barry is upset because it was actually looking like it was going to be Barry against you three and the evil undead. And since Frey had told him that she was evil, he was not going to budge on that at all. Because, you know, he's not given to deep... any kind of deep thinking or philosophical leanings. If, you know, his divine sense, you know, Freya tells him that something's evil, it's evil. And so that's good enough for him. And he's not going to think about it anymore.
That's totally fair.
I mean, that's kind of his belief system. So.
No, I think that's well fit. I think you actually, I think you play him quite well. You know, the stubborn paladin.
That's, yeah, no. So he was actually prepared to die on that hill. So.
This has been an Azentuary LLC production. Find us online at azentuary.com for character bios, merchandise, Patreon, and more. Thank you for listening.
One is explore your sexuality like your lover was a doctor.
Okay.